Small businesses are at the heart of the U.S. economy. Here at Nurture Small Business Podcast, we're dedicated to seeing our small business owners succeed. I am your host, Denise Kagan, president of DCA Virtual Business Support. If you like what you hear on today's podcast, please share it. You have my gratitude for doing so.
How many of you ever heard happy woman, happy world? Well, or maybe you might have heard it in the context of happy woman, happy husband. So our today's guest, today's guest is the author of a book that sounds a little bit like that. Happy Woman, Happy World, How to Go from Overwhelmed to Awesome. Beate Shalette is our guest today, and she will be talking about her experiences as an immigrant, an entrepreneur, and a business builder. Welcome to the show, Beate.
Thank you so much for having me, Denise. I'm excited to be here. Yes, happy woman, happy world is like happy wife, happy life.
There you go. I'm all about that philosophy. Tell me what brought you to write that book.
It was really after I built my business and sold it to no other than Bill Gates for a couple million dollars after a 13-year decade, more than a decade of just bad luck and super intense hardship, that I realized when my company was acquired and I was working in the corporation in the integration first, and then they offered me a job, Denise, to be the senior director of global photography. And I saw what was happening in organizations and how different it is between how men work and how women work with each other, how women work with men, how men work with men, how men work with women. And I was shocked. And so I wanted to create something. The book, in the full title of the book, is The Woman's Code Presents Happy Woman, Happy World, How to Go from Overwhelmed to Awesome. And explaining the challenges that working mothers have and how the lack of a code amongst women is really detrimental for our own advancement, professional development as leaders, on whether you're in an organization or an entrepreneur, doesn't really matter.
Well, you just said so many things that I want to dive into. First, let me ask you about how did you even get noticed by the Gates? You know, I'm assuming Microsoft is where you sold your
product. No. It was Bill Gates. It was Bill Gates himself. So Bill Gates himself has a number of different businesses that he privately owns through, you know, whatever holding companies that he has. So this was not Microsoft. It was, we were in a small industry. We were in a stock photography syndication. Bill Gates happened to have done a series of acquisitions in that market and was holding the second largest company in that space next to Getty Images. And we were the only player with a particular type of offer that we had that they could buy for one particular piece of the business that they had purchased earlier that they couldn't grow. And so we were literally the only player, one of two players in the world, but we were the largest player in the world that they could possibly acquire. And so they did.
Excellent. And so you got noticed by having a different offer.
Yes, I got noticed because we had a special positioning. We were doing celebrity homes. So at home stories of people like Terry Hatcher, Francis Ford Coppola, Seal, Heidi Klum, Madonna. And so people would have these stories published in magazines all over the world. So it was a celebrity type of brand, but we were focused on the interior and architecture, which was great publicity for these people, which is why they did it in the first place. And I built an entire worldwide syndication network around that offer. And they had Corbis, you know, which was owned by Bill Gates, had made an offer, had made an acquisition of a high-end celebrity portraiture brand. And so they figured that if they had a portraiture and an interior brand, that they could combine both of those and then provide the celebrity images to the actual images of the house.
Excellent. I am so impressed. Tell me about your journey building that business.
Well, it was messy, to say the least. It was all the stuff that happens to other people, Denise, you know, the employee who betrayed me and started her own business, which was my business without me, and proceeded to call my clients that I had written invoices to pay them, not me, because I was withholding money, which was an absolute lie. And my September 11th, that wiped out my production business. I lost $500,000 in one day by people just canceling. And a lot of, you know, riots, fires, floods, earthquake, you name it. You know, now I added a tsunami, and I added now a pandemic to my ever-growing repertoire of natural disasters to overcome, and multiple recessions. So it was, you know, the hits kept coming for a very, very, very long time until I was in this grand finale where then on top of everything, my dad died. So yeah, the story is messy at best and devastating on other levels, but on whether you call it mental toughness or resilience or just the audacity to never give up, I persevered, and I could not believe that at the end of the day, God or spirit, one source, universe, whatever you want to call it, would do this na-na-na-na-na-na, the joke is on you thing. I mean, I just couldn't fathom, Denise, that that was my path. And so I kept going, because if I, you know, I will not drown in a puddle.
I love that. I love that. So first, I want to apologize. When you said it was messy, I chuckled, mainly because it was refreshingly honest. That was the source of my chuckle. But had I realized some of the things that you're going to tell me, my heart just aches. I mean, to have a key employee betray you, that I can't even fathom.
Well, and that's, you know, kind of where you come in with what you do, because I do promote very heavily to say that you need to not have one person that knows everything and does everything. You need to have multiple people who do multiple things that are highly specialized, because it distributes the danger of you screwing up.
I agree. I agree very much. I know as a woman, you know, and all the women I know who are building their businesses, they work very hard at it. So that would have been completely devastating. So after you sold this business to Bill Gates, tell me what else you did. You've got such a fascinating story.
Yeah. So after the business was sold, then I retired, I think, for like a week. There was this moment when I went into, I think it was Neiman Marcus or Bloomingdale's or some outrageously expensive store. And I was looking at a t-shirt that was $220 and a Burberry coat that was like $1,500. And I'm looking at this. I'm going like, well, I certainly can't afford to do this now. And then I put him back and I walked out, and I thought there was a reason why I never bought a t-shirt that was $200 and I never bought a coat that was $1,500, because it's meaningless to me. It meant nothing to me. This is not how I look at the world. I'm impact driven. I'm here because I want to help people to understand shortcuts in business and to understand how strategy, spirituality connect. How do you tap into what you already know and then develop a strategy around it so you can be more successful? Because so many people get lost in the more, or they can't get over that first hurdle of income. And then they keep turning in circles and they can't figure out what it is, because there's a disconnect between the strategy and what you really believe deep underneath. And unless that's fixed, you know, it kind of can't work. They call this a double binding message. And my purpose then was to say, well, if I went through all of this, right, if we are really now honest about this and look at this, Denise, and say, that was a shit show. That was a long and hard road to get here. Somebody must derive a benefit out of that. I mean, it's just not normal that one person goes through all of this hardship. And that's when I realized that my purpose or my vision here in life was to help other people make their impact by taking what I know and what I've learned and the relatable pieces that I have figured out and teach as many people as I can so they can go out and make their impact in the world.
So you said something about business shortcuts. Tell me about some of those.
So a lot of times when you go and you identify a problem that you think you have. So let's say your problem is, I need to find more clients. I'm sure that from, you know, your listeners, what, like 99.9% all will relate to that sentence.
Exactly.
Do you need to find more clients? Now, you and I know that there is no answer to how do I find more clients? Because if that person would have this answer, they would be a billionaire by now. What the answer to that is where are you going to get your clients from? How is your lead generation? Where do you send them? How do you convert them? How do you bring them in? What's the conversation? Are you solving a problem that they're having? Are you speaking them to them in their languages? So you and I know that there's 100 different things that can go wrong. So the question is really not the right question, but the question that they are having, that's the level of understanding of the problem. So now they go and they put this on the internet. And now there is an internet marketer that says you need to sell them what they want, not what they need, and not what the ultimate solution is, but let's sell them what they want because we know people spend money on what they want. So they are now creating a system that is keyword rich on finding more clients, finding more clients, finding more clients. You need to hire me so you can find more clients. You need to pay me $10,000 so you can find more clients. You need to learn how to speak from stage so you can find more clients.
Sounds a lot like diet and noise.
and on it goes, right, Denise? Mm-hmm. And so now you go and you say, well, wonderful. I'm going to learn how to speak from stage because that will help me how to find more clients. Because I don't really understand what the real problem is. I now think that I need something else externally. And then I buy the next affiliate offer that comes after I learn how to speak from stage, which is how to convert from stage.
Mm-hmm.
And how to have an online course. And how to funnel hack. And how to do Facebook ads. And how to get leads. And on it goes. $100,000 later, 3 years later, with hundreds of hours that you've never listened to, are now at your disposal and you're exactly where you were, just a little bit more broke. A shortcut is to ask a critical question ahead of time, and that is, what do you want? What is the business model? What are you even trying to do? I have a person that I talk to right now that has an idea for a business, which I know is going to be very lucrative. We'll get them to multiple six figures in no time because, you know, it's like one of those things every homeowner needs. His father did the same business and he only knows this one model that his father followed, solopreneur, do everything yourself. And he thinks that is not the model that he wants. So he has a huge conflict. Why? Because his subject matter knowledge is only this one thing. So everything he looks at is from this umbrella of what the one model is that he knows and understands. So he's inclined to build the same model because that's what he knows. The shortcut is to say, let's talk to a consultant, a growth architect, someone like me, who says, no. You're too intelligent for that model. That's a model for somebody who doesn't want employees, you know, who just wants to make the money, go home, you know, and not deal with any of that. But you are a CEO type. So we would never build that model like that. We would build it differently. But this person doesn't know. So shortcuts are things that people don't know or understand because they simply do not have the experience. They can only see what's right in front of them, which is based on a story that they've already been telling themselves. So they're looking for confirmation that what they already believe in is true. Mm-hmm. But you don't need me for that. You can go to your mother or your husband or whoever else. So shortcuts are for people that are questioning based on the results that they're getting or the lack of the results that they're getting on whether the story that they're telling themselves is actually true. Because if you're telling me that you got it figured out and you're not over 100 or not over 250 or not over $500,000, then the story you're telling yourself is simply not true. And it's a wishful thinking story. That's when you come to me. That's when I'm going to give you the shortcut of helping you figure out why. Like, what is it? Because I built the system in growth architecture. I built the 5-star success blueprint. I can diagnose this in 30 minutes on what the issue is. That's what I mean with shortcuts.
30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I am impressed. And a growth architect, so you diagnose the problem. What else do you do?
Yes. So once we know what the issue is or the problem or the oversight is, a lot of people get stuff right, but it's not properly connected. So I'll give you an example so you know exactly what I mean. How many times have we seen someone who says, I have the perfect offer? And I know people want it, you know, the price is right. It's perfect for all kinds of different people. Then I ask, what problem does this solve? Well, I haven't really taken a further look into that, but I know people need it. Are people aware that they need this? Or are they still saying, I need to find clients? And you tell them, instead of finding clients, how to hire a VA, which is directly related to finding more clients because you can outsource some of the work, right?
You
and
can.
So they can do some of the processes and systems that are required to finding more clients. But to them in their head is completely disconnected. So if you don't speak to clients in the language at that level of the problem that they understand, and just tell them that your stuff is solving that problem, you can't sell anything. But how many times do we have clients that insist that this offer works, even though they haven't made a single sale? And even though nobody's asking for it. And even though, you know, they feel like they're convincing clients, but the offer is not landing. They have no sales, but they tell you that it's working. And you go like, no. It's not working because you're not selling it.
Yeah, the numbers don't say that.
The numbers are not suggesting that it's successful. You know, or I have spoken to somebody who's developing a SaaS product. I said, have you put, you know, what's the minimum viable offer? Well, I'm way past the minimum viable offer. I said, have you done proof of concept? Oh, I don't need a proof of concept. I know people want it. I said,
yes,
have you not
do.
Put anybody in a beta testing group? So before you do all this work on figuring out what all the functions are that they need, why not ask 5 people, put them in the beta testing? No, it's not ready. It's not ready. It's not ready. I'm like, by the time you're ready, the market will have developed this and you're not going to be part of it because you're a perfectionist. You're driven by something. So that's where I help people, is to go and say, there's a very specific way businesses are built. Or there's a very specific way businesses are growing. And there's a very specific way you scale a business. That's 3 different tracks. Which of these 3 different tracks are you? Are you building? Are you growing? Or are you scaling? Where do you want to go? Where are you at in that journey? And then because I've done this so much and I have the shortcuts, I can tell people pretty quickly what needs to be done to get to that point. And then they go and they make millions.
So what is your success rate when you tell people what they need to do?
Success rate is a funny ROI or funny measurable, because success rate really depends on how people are, how willing they are to step into the change. I always say, as you probably know the same thing. I mean, when somebody comes to you, they say, I want to hand it all over to you. And then they fight you on every step of the way because they still want to micromanage everything. And you say, please allow me to do the processes with you, for you, so we know what to tell the VA. And then they'll go like, no, it's better if we do it this way. But they have no idea how they need to tell somebody how to do the job because they've never done it successfully before. So I think that part of the success rate always depends on somebody's coachability, if you so want to say that. Are you coachable? Don't come to me unless if you want to insist. Like if you're looking for one more person who tells you that you're right, call your mother.
Mm-hmm.
Not me. Because I'll look at this and I ask you, what do you want? What have you done? And I'm going to outline what the steps are that need to be taken in order to get there. And then we're either going to do it or we don't. But people have resistance to change. I think my success rate is probably pretty, it's probably pretty good. I mean, most everybody that I work with, I know of two people where that fell flat on their face. And in their particular case, it was that they couldn't decide which of the many ideas that they had they actually wanted to execute on.
Mm.
That I cannot help you with. But if you're clear what you're doing, I can get you there pretty quickly.
Awesome. So is there, I see that you've worked with some really large businesses. Your resume, your bio shows companies like Amazon, Chevron, Women's Legislative Caucus of California, so many others that are huge. Okay. What is your ideal client look like?
Yeah, it's really interesting because the work that I do is typically around strategy. So it has to do with helping people figure out what they have, where they want to go, and mapping out how to get there. So for Amazon, I worked with a colleague together, which secured the client. And then she brought me in as a partner to help her with the strategic component of it, to do the strategic facilitation for a particular business unit. So my ideal clients really are people that know they need to impact the world with what they do. I love visionaries. I love thought leaders. I love people that are non-conforming, have crazy big ideas. And they need somebody to help them land the plane because they're either strapped for time, or they don't know how, or they get caught in the minutiae, or they hate the minutiae, and they just need somebody to help them organize it for them so that it's clear what we're actually looking at, and then develop a strategy from that to implement whatever that is that we're implementing.
Okay. And what are the size of your ideal clients? You mentioned
I work with numbers earlier. Yeah. You know, I work with tons of entrepreneurs. I work with companies that are at a $250,000 level. I work with entrepreneurs that are multi-millions. It really depends on, I love working with entrepreneurs. Large companies are a little bit more complicated because large companies have, you know, even if you do the work, but then they have issues with implementation because so many people are making decisions, a huge machine. I prefer to work with companies that are probably under 25 million just because you still can make a lot of fast decisions. And entrepreneurs, I mean, that's just the lifeblood of everything. That's the blood that pumps in my veins because, you know, who can we help land a plane today? You know, take this idea, take it off 30,000 feet. If you don't, you know, put gas in the plane and the crew doesn't get some sleep, the plane will crash. So how about we map that out? Where are we going to take that plane first?
Absolutely. How can our listeners find you after the show?
Yes. So if you heard something right now where you go, I must speak to her, go to uncoverysession.com. Make sure you mention this show. And that way we get you priority treatment. And let's talk for about 15 minutes about what's going on in your business. And I can tell you pretty quickly, pretty early on whether or not there's something I can do to help you with your business. And then we'll talk about if that interests you, what that might be. If you are new to all of this and you want to know if you are able to make money in this market, go and take our quiz. We just launched a new quiz called What's Your Talent Worth? So you go to whatsyourtalentworth.com, take the quiz, and it will tell you, it's a mathematical calculation. It's called the profit formula. It's a mathematical calculation that will tell you what your talent is worth in this market. That way you can see then between the number you're making right now and the number you could be making, what the discrepancy is. And if there's a big discrepancy, then you're not stepping into your potential, then we definitely should talk.
Okay. I will make sure that both of those websites are in the show notes so that people can find you. Beate, you have been an amazing guest today. Fascinating story. That was not planned at all. I had just looked at that and wanted to ask you the question. So I appreciate it. And Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And for all of your listeners, I just want to make sure that you do know that you need to go now wherever you pick up this podcast. Give Denise a 5-star review, subscribe to the podcast, and leave a comment. And here's why this really is critical right now. AI is taking over everything. And AI is looking for some very straightforward factors, which is, are people engaged? So even if you just put a little heart in it, in your comment, showing that you've listened to the show from front to back, that will help the algorithm to see that you love the show and you want more of it, and other people should listen to it as well.
I very much appreciate that little nugget. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you so much for having me, Denise.
Thank you for joining me for today's Nurture Small Business podcast, where the focus is on business growth through technology, leadership, and people strategies. Do you have an idea for a podcast or feedback you'd like to share with me? Send me a note through my website at dcavirtual.com/contact.